You well know that you and I have had serious differences of opinion about the direction and style of management in the company in recent years. For whatever reason, you have driven a wedge between me and those I work with, even to the extent of requiring some of my associates to report my conversations and activities back to you. I find this intolerable. Finally, you discussed with the nominating committee of the board of directors its decision to leave my name off the slate of directors to be elected in the coming year, effectively muzzling my voice on the board, much as you did with Andrea Vandekamp last year. Michael, I believe your conduct has resulted from my clear and unambiguous statements to you and to the board of directors that after 19 years at the helm, you are no longer the best person to run the Walt Disney Company. You had a very successful first 10-plus years at the company in partnership with Frank Wells, for which I salute you. But since Frank's untimely death in 1994, the company has lost its focus, its creative energy, and its heritage. Roy identified various ways in which Eisner had failed. ABC Primetime, the Family Channel, his micromanagement and resulting loss of morale, his timidity in building new theme parks on the cheap, a creative brain drain, poor relations with creative partners such as Pixar and Miramax, and a lack of a succession plan. Michael, it is my sincere belief that it is you who should be leaving and not me. Accordingly, I once again call for your resignation or retirement. The Walt Disney Company deserves fresh, energetic leadership at this challenging time in its history, just as it did in 1984 when I headed a restructuring which resulted in your recruitment to the company. I have and will always have an enormous allegiance and respect for this company founded by my Uncle Walt and Father Roy, and to our faithful employees and loyal stockholders. I don't know if you and the other directors can comprehend how painful it is for me and the extended Disney family to arrive at this decision. With sincere regret, Roy E. Disney. On one hand, Eisner wasn't surprised. Events had been pointing to something like this for over a year. In a sense, it was a relief. The gauntlet had been thrown, and Roy had been forced into the open. It was also exciting. Eisner felt his adrenaline pumping. He felt he was at his best in a crisis, calm and focused. Bob Iger was planning to enjoy a rare, quiet Sunday afternoon with his wife at the Neue Galerie, the Museum of Austrian Art and Culture on Fifth Avenue. But he had barely walked in when he felt his cell phone vibrate. He went outside to take the call. It was Eisner. Roy had resigned. He had just read Roy's letter and had spoken to Xenia Mucha. Bruce Orwell was calling from the Wall Street Journal seeking comment. It was a lot for Iger to absorb. He saw his Sunday evaporating. Eisner asked him to join him at the Pierre as soon as possible. They'd have to draft a press release and plan strategy. He was also summoning Mucha, Alan Braverman, the general counsel, and his own assistant, Chris Curtin. They were all in New York for the upcoming board meeting. They quickly decided that Roy was trying to make Eisner the issue, and therefore Eisner himself should stay above the fray. Instead, they would put